When in doubt, a great piece of advice is do the next right thing. But you need to know what that is. Hi, I'm Rob West. There's no shortage of sayings about this. First things first, and don't put the cart before the horse come to mind. The order in which we do things can mean success or failure. I'll talk about that with Chad Clark, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always fun and educational to have Chad Clark on the program. He's our executive director here at Faith and Finance, and he always gets things in the right order, well, at least most of the time. Chad, great to have you.
I was going to say, I don't know about always, but by God's grace, sometimes we get it right.
Well, I know this topic has been on your mind lately, Chad. I'm excited to unpack it. And tackling things in the right sequence is what you've been thinking about. And you're going to take us, I guess, back to math class to understand this?
I guess so. And I know that we just lost half of our listeners. But for those of you that are still listening, stick with us here, because I think that you're going to see a lot of value in what we're going to be unpacking here. But to get started, let's just jump right in to a math problem.
Okay.
And so this is a very simple problem for our listeners. If you're driving in the car, stay focused on the road, but
right.
I want you to be paying attention to this equation. If you're listening with somebody else, I want you to tell me the answer to this math problem out loud. I want you to tell that person you're listening to the answer to this problem. So let's jump into this. It's very simple, and stick with me. So Rob, I want you to answer this. Four plus four times two. Let me give that to you again. 4 plus 4 times 2.
Okay.
All right. So does everybody have their answer? Rob, we're going to unpack this, okay?
I'm ready. 4 plus 4 times 2.
All right. So 4 plus 4 is what?
8.
Times 2?
Is 16.
Okay. You think that's the right answer?
Well, that's what I came up with.
That's what you came up with. Why is that? Because we went from left to right to solve the problem. Unfortunately, that is not the right answer.
Uh-oh.
The answer is actually 12. And that's because we have to follow certain mathematical laws, which, by the way, God designed, and it's beautiful to when you unpack kind of these mathematical principles and how they're used throughout nature and everything else. But these mathematical laws, also known as PEMDAS, parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction. Yes,
okay.
We're taking it
yes,
way back
wow.
here to remember these order of operations.
I'm starting to twitch.
You are. I see
okay.
it. I see it. But stick with me here. When we don't follow the right order of operations, we get the wrong answer, even though we may be deceived that it's right. Okay? So
yep.
We see this on social media a lot. We see these problems pop up and people get into big debates about them. And at the end of the day, really what it comes down to is doing the first things first, is following these set of mathematical rules, these order of operations. And this is so important in our lives spiritually and also financially. And that's what we want to unpack today.
All right, but for those who are still wondering why the answer wasn't 16, because 4 plus 4 is in fact 8, and when you multiply that times 2, that is in fact 16, why is that wrong? We can't leave them behind here.
Yeah, no, that's great. So because of the order of operations, we need to do multiplication before addition. And so we actually need to do is look at 4 times 2, which is 8, and then we go back to add the additional 4 to get to 12. So multiplication has to come before the addition. And if we don't do it in the proper order, we get the wrong answer.
I love it. And you're exactly right. So if we want to get first things first and get our finances right as it relates to handling money God's way, we've got to take a break here in about 45 seconds. So tee this up for us. How is this, Chad, going to apply to our money management as God's people?
Well, I think one of the things that this does is it helps us to take a step back and ask ourselves, are we getting the right financial outcomes? We tend to focus so much on giving and saving and retirement, paying off debt, lifestyle. All of these things are great, but that's only the addition and subtraction side of the equation. And if we just focus on that part, my concern is that we may end up getting the wrong answer, because those are just downstream outcomes of the things that we need to do first, which we're going to dive into in just a bit.
I love it. It's the order of operations, and perhaps perhaps by rethinking how you're approaching God's money and the why. It's the 90% of the iceberg below the waterline, not the 10%, the how that's above it. We'll unpack that, and that may lead you to some entirely different outcomes as a steward of God's money. Chad Clark, Executive Director of Faith and Finance, with us today. Much more to come just around the corner. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It was war. The southern kingdom of Judah was being invaded by the Moabites and Ammonites. The Bible calls it a vast army. All the people gathered, and King Jehoshaphat prayed. Was this the end for God's people? No way. God raised up a prophet and promised victory. And how did King Jehoshaphat respond? He gave wise advice, not just for Judah, but also for us. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. We aren't being invaded by tribes from the Near East, but we are still at war with sin and Satan. How will we be upheld and have success? By trusting in Christ. He has won the victory. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Executive Director here at Faith and Finance, Chad Clark. And Chad, just before the break, we were doing math equations.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of folks didn't know what they were signing up for today, but you made a really great point, and that is the order of operations is critical, and that has real application to our role as stewards of God's money, right?
That's right. It absolutely does. And so before the break, we were looking at a math problem, and we said that if we do the operations out of order, we can end up with the wrong answer. And that same thing can apply in our lives and specifically in our finances. And so what I want to do now is take a step back and look at how we put the first things first. What do we need to do before we even begin to look at our finances? And I think we just go to God's word, and specifically what Jesus said is the greatest commandment in Matthew 22:37-39. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so the first thing that we have to do before we do anything else in our lives, specifically our finances, is we need to make sure that we love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And this goes back to a principle we talk about a lot on this show, which is Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there is nothing we should treasure and love more than God, because our love for God ultimately flows into everything else that we do, including our financial decisions.
Yeah, and perhaps often, Chad, especially as we read that great commandment, we don't quickly relate that to money. And what we fail to recognize is the heart connection between our money and our relationship with the Lord. Money issues are heart issues at the end of the day. They're a tangible daily expression of walking by faith and trusting and valuing the Lord above everything else. And perhaps we don't see that often, and maybe that's why we don't apply this.
I think that's exactly right. We don't see that this is really a heart condition, and it's really about what we love. And we can grow in our love for God by spending time with Him in His Word and prayer and fellowship with other believers. And it may look different for each of us, but we ultimately should just be longing for more of Him. I love what John Owen says when he says, you know, when he looks at how do we know that we're more in love with God than the things of this world. And he says, when we by faith set our minds on those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, then the things on earth lose their luster and desirability in comparison. It's this eternal perspective that we're constantly talking about, Rob, is we're setting our eyes on the things above, the things eternal, and not on the things temporal. And so when we're growing in our love for God, we no longer desire the things of this world. And so how does this apply to our finances? Well, in every possible way. When we set our heart and our mind and our love on Him, it overflows into our financial decisions. Loving Him must be our first and primary objective of our lives. And we do that, our finances may actually look very different than the rest of the world.
Oh, that's really helpful, Chad. It reminds me of what John Piper says when he says, the way we're to be rich toward God is to handle money in such a way that it's apparent that God is our treasure and not our money. But our listeners may be hearing this and thinking or saying out loud to themselves, what does this really look like? How does this, on a day-to-day basis, my love for God, how does that actually overflow into the way I practically handle money? What would you say to them?
Well, I think that we could probably just look at the second part of the Great Commandment, okay, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. When we love God, I believe that He softens our heart and makes us more aware of the needs of our neighbors and those around us. But let's, before we jump into that, let's define what does neighbor even really mean? Mm. This can be literally the person next door, in your community, at your church, or somebody on the other side of the world. But Jesus answers the question of who is my neighbor in Luke 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you recall this parable, right, the Samaritan saw a man beaten on the side of the road, and when he saw him, it says he had compassion, and he went and he helped this person that was in need. And so our love for our neighbor is when we see somebody in need that we have compassion on them, and we love them so much that we go and we see how we can help. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis when he talks about love for neighbor. He says, love is not necessarily an affectionate feeling, but a steady wish for that loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be obtained. Our love for them is for their ultimate good, and that's what it means when we love ourselves, right? When we love ourselves, we're looking out for our good. To love our neighbor, we're looking out for the good of our neighbor.
I love this, because when we put money in its proper context, that is a tool to accomplish God's purposes, it's an invitation into a greater and grander vision that we were created, Chad, to live for something bigger than ourselves. And when we give, there's contentment and satisfaction and joy that, frankly, we just won't find anywhere else. And I think it calibrates our hearts to the Father as we give, because when we physically loosen our grip on God's money, it's demonstrating the trust that we're placing ultimately in Him. but we're also able, to your point, to partner with him in meeting the needs of those around us.
That, I mean, that's exactly right. And I think about 1 John 3:17 when you say that. It says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? It goes all the way back to that first principle, which is a love for God. And that overflows into recognizing the needs of our neighbor and helping them, right? Having a heart postured towards God so that we can then see how we can help our neighbors. And this has been one of my prayers recently, just personally. I feel like so many times I get the blinders on and I'm focused on my needs, my family's needs. And so recently I've just been praying, God, help me to see the needs of others. Help me to love them and to see how I can care for them through the power of your Holy Spirit, because we know that we need your help to do that, right? This is not something we can do in and of our own strength. We need God's help to see how we can serve and love our neighbors well.
So to bring this full circle, Chad, there's nothing wrong with trying to get out of debt and saving for retirement and building that emergency fund and providing for our families. But when we look at it through the order of operations and we start with loving God and loving our neighbor, perhaps the day-to-day decisions and handling of God's money will change, right?
Absolutely. I think as we grow closer to God, he's going to start to position our hearts in ways and show us opportunities. Like you said, money is just a tool. And it's either going to glorify us and build our kingdom, or it's going to glorify him and build his kingdom. And I think as we just continue to pursue him, he's going to show us how we can use finances to glorify him. I love John Piper's quote where he says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And I think that's what we're getting at today, is that our satisfaction ultimately needs to be found in him and him alone. There's nothing in this world that's ultimately going to satisfy. We can be thankful for the things that God has given us, our home and our car and our relationships, but those things don't ultimately satisfy when it comes to him.
Here in a new year, as you put your financial plans together, perhaps you should start with your love for God and neighbor before you get to those more practical decisions, and it might just change everything. Chad, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we're going to take your questions just around the corner. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stay with us. Much more to come just around the corner.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever you're thinking about financially. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. In addition to your questions today, we'll tackle a few emails. Jerry Boyer will stop by today, and I'll save one of your emails for Jerry, specifically related to buying gold. Paul wrote to us and asked about the fact that given that the U.S. dollar is not backed by gold any longer, could this be a great time in light of some of the challenges we see on the horizon to really have a significant increase in exposure to gold? Well, I'll get Jerry to weigh in on that. Jerry will give us a perspective that's historical and also give us some current counsel on whether gold is perhaps a place for you to look as a safe haven in these uncertain times. Of course, your questions, 800-525-7000. And we'll also look at protecting your financial accounts today. You know, we're doing more and more business online and we want to stay safe. What does that look like? What are those best practices for you to keep your financial life safe and secure, especially as you're on the internet? We'd love to help you think through that today. Also, some economic data out today. Very interesting. Payrolls increased by, you ready? Over a half a million in January, 517,000, which crushed the estimates and has brought unemployment, that's the people out of work, unemployment, that rate now at a 53-year low. That's right, the unemployment rate fell to 3.4% versus the estimate for 3.6. That's the lowest jobless level since May 1969. Some big increases in leisure and hospitality. Those led all the sectors. Other significant gainers were professional and business services, government, and healthcare. You know, this is really interesting. Obviously, the Federal Reserve, Chairman Powell, and the rest of the Federal Reserve Board, they set a New Year's resolution to get unemployment, not unemployment, but to slow the economy and get inflation under control. And they've been obviously through last year, and it continues even this week with the latest quarter point interest rate hike. They've been focused on slowing this economy. And usually when they do that, we see an impact on the labor market. Unemployment rises and we see, jobless claims rise, new hires decrease with an overall slowing of the economy. Well, the labor market is pushing back hard on the Fed's activities. As a result, we're seeing a really strong report out today. Obviously, most economists calling for at least a mild or a shallow recession here in 2023. The question is, if we see a continued raging labor market despite the Fed's action, could that cause us to miss the recession? Well, it's possible. Some economists beginning to talk about that. If we don't see the labor market roll over, it could help us to engineer that soft landing that the Fed would love to see, where we get inflation back to our target, we keep people employed, and we kind of roll right past this potential recession that most are expecting this year. Obviously, a key indicator we'll continue to watch as more data comes in, and we're watching the earnings report, which, you know, most companies are missing their earnings results based on what they were expecting. And we thought that would be the case as we head into a new earnings season here and know that this economy is slowing, the pressure with higher interest rates, among other things, including the supply chain, has put some real challenges out there for business. And as a result, many of them are missing expectations. But a lot more data to come. And of course, Jerry Boyer, our resident economist, will stop by in the last segment of the broadcast today to weigh in on all of it. We'll get Jerry's take on these new labor market numbers, the jobless claims, and have him tell us what he thinks that means for the overall economy. All right, we want to take your questions today, 800-525-7000. Before we go to the phones, a quick email. This one comes to us from Veronica. And by the way, if you have a question you'd like read on the air, feel free to send it along to askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. Veronica writes to us, I got divorced several years ago and I'm now engaged. I'll be moving into my fiance's house when we get married later this year. My only debt is a house that I own. There are plenty of things I could fix or update on my house, but I'm not sure if it's worth it. Thank you for any guidance you're able to give. Veronica, first of all, congratulations on your upcoming marriage. Big idea here. Obviously, I don't know the specifics, but I wouldn't put a lot of money into the house unless there are problems that will prevent its sale, like a crumbling foundation. So I would generally do the things that result in the most bang for your buck, if you will. Do some landscaping in the front yard to enhance the curb appeal. You want to trim hedges, plant flowers in the spring, that sort of thing. Maybe a fresh paint inside where it needs it, especially if you have a color that's not neutral. Don't put the house on the market, in my view, until after the wedding. And by the way, you'll be exempt for capital gains of up to $250,000 in profit minus, you know, that's the selling price minus the original purchase price plus any improvements that you made to the home. That gain, up to $250,000 of that, will be excluded or not taxable if you've lived there 2 out of the last 5 years. So that is what you can count on there. But in terms of the overall number of repairs, I wouldn't do any major improvements. You could certainly walk through with a real estate professional and they would be able to tell you if any of the repairs or minor renovations would be especially helpful for you to get the house sold. Those would be the only things that I would be looking at. But oftentimes we put too much money into houses we're about to sell and we don't get it back out because they probably would do it differently anyway. So just be slow about that. Be careful. Also, let me just throw out this idea. Make sure you and your fiance are really talking about prior to marriage how you want to handle God's money. What was money like growing up? How has that affected how you handle it today? What's your lifestyle going to look like? What about giving? Talk about all these things well in advance. All right, Chad, we're coming your way after the break, plus your questions. 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions on anything financial. Whatever you're thinking about, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Let's head back to the phones to Mississippi. Hey, Chad, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir. The numbers that you just gave out, what I'm trying to figure out is, are those jobs that they say were created, is that also jobs that were basically done away with pre-pandemic? And are those field jobs?
Yeah, it's a good question. And obviously, what we're seeing here in terms of overall payrolls, these are non-farm payrolls that increased by 517,000 for January. The biggest sectors that saw the increases were leisure and hospitality, professional and business services, government and healthcare. It is the lowest jobless level since May 1969. What has not fully recovered since the pandemic is the labor participation rate, although it edged higher to 62.4%. It's still well below the pre-pandemic level of 63.4%. Obviously not all of those jobs have returned. A lot of folks, especially in their 50s, went ahead and took early retirement and exited the workforce. We saw, certain sectors still have not recovered fully. But there's no doubt that unemployment number is incredibly strong, as I said, going back all the way to the 1960s. So we've got a lot to celebrate here in terms of what's going on in the labor market, even though the labor participation rate is not back to where it was from pre-pandemic.
Well, and that was my reason for the question, because everywhere I go, people says they can't find help.
Yeah. It's still a challenge, no doubt. I mean, there's, two jobs open for every available worker, which is something that the Federal Reserve talked about in their comments this week on the heels of their interest rate hike. There's still, it's a very tight labor market because there are so many openings, and we still don't have the participation back where it was, which is putting pressure on businesses to find qualified workers. We did a program earlier in the week on quiet hiring, and it's this notion that we're seeing as a result of what you're asking about, and that is they're asking folks who are currently employed by these companies to come over and work in other jobs because they can't fill those sectors. One of the most recent interesting examples was one of the big airlines that asked some folks from their executive team to become baggage handlers for a period of time just because they're just trying to fill jobs they can't otherwise fill. So we've still got to work on that issue. I think a lot of these entitlements rolling off that I think were way overdone that caused folks to stay home because they were in some cases earning more than if they were to go out and get a job. You know, I think that's going to help to get people back into the workforce. But it's definitely a tight situation. But good news is it's improving. And so that's why we're glad to see that in addition to the unemployment rate falling, we're seeing the labor participation rate edge higher. But still, we've got a ways to go. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thank you for all you do, sir, and I appreciate that.
All right, Chad. Thank you for being a part of the program. God bless you, my friend. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever your financial questions are. I wanted to give you some thoughts today on how you can stay safe online as you do more and more of your transactions online and perhaps think about what it looks like to protect your financial accounts. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man sees evil and hides himself, the naive proceed and pay the penalty. So when it comes to financial account security, being prudent or wise means more than just stashing your cash in the bank. The evil we need to protect ourselves from can be hard to see, but if you're a victim, you'll definitely feel it in your wallet. I'm talking about things like identity theft, email spam, and computer malware. Any one of these can create financial headaches. So here's a few ideas that I hope are really practical for you to help you strengthen your account security. First, use strong passwords. Now, that might seem simple, but it's really critical. You know, so many of us get into a habit of just using the same password over and over again, but uncrackable passwords, if you will, are both long and complicated, including random upper and lowercase letters, numbers, and symbols. You should know by now never to use your birth date or other personal information in your passwords. Don't use sequential or repeating letters or numbers. And again, don't use the same password for every account. If this is something that's challenging for you, perhaps think about using a password manager like LastPass or 1Password. That's the number 1Password. Those are great programs. They offer encryption, but also they'll actually recommend very difficult password strings for you so that you can change your password for every account, but then keep them right there in your password manager so you don't have to get out that little black book or try to remember those, because if you do them right, you'll never remember them. So check those out. Those might be helpful. Again, 1Password or LastPass. By the way, if you've got a question today, go ahead and get in the queue. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever you're thinking about financially at 800-525-7000. Next, sign up for security alerts. Most credit cards, banks, and other financial companies offer notifications when someone accesses your account or even tries to log in. You can sign up for these alerts so you can take immediate action when an unauthorized attempt is made, and then you can immediately change your password. Those are quick and easy to do, but make sure you do that. Sign up for what's called two-factor authentication. This option adds a second step to your logins. Usually it's a text message that's sent to your phone with a one-time code that you should never share with anyone. This is going to make it a lot more difficult for people to access your accounts, because even if they get your password because your data has been compromised as a part of a breach with maybe a major financial institution, that alone is not going to allow them to access your information, because they're going to have either your laptop or your cell phone to get that second factor authentication through that text message. So try to add two-factor authentication everywhere you can. Just about everyone has it available now, but often you have to opt in for it. Next, update your devices. Hackers are always looking for a way into your personal accounts. Well, you can stay ahead of that by running software updates and installing antivirus security on all of your devices. That's really important, and I would encourage you to take advantage of that. Here's some other quick, what I'll call good technology hygiene options. Number one, never open an email or click on a link from an unknown source. Be aware of phishing. That's with a PH. And email scams asking you to confirm your account details or personal information. Don't ever click on a link and provide that. And that includes phone calls that are inbound to you. Even if the caller ID says it's from a financial institution you recognize, don't volunteer that information. You initiate the contact to them by calling the phone number on the back of your credit card or from their website that you go to directly. Don't respond to any inbound emails or phone calls. Also, be careful using Zelle or any payment app to send money unless you initiated the transaction. Don't just respond to a request you get. I will also mention that one of the more common scams these days is somebody asking to borrow your phone. And when they do that, they quickly open your payment app and send themselves money. So be on your guard there. Listen, this is a matter of stewardship and common sense. So keep your devices updated. Be aware of scams. And I hope that's helpful. All right, a quick break and then your questions plus Jerry Boyer, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at AFR.net.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open here on a Friday as we wrap up the week. Our good friend Jerry Boyer's with us. Jerry is a columnist at World Opinions. He's the author of The Maker versus the Takers, and he's our resident economist checking in with us. Jerry, I want to talk about the payroll increases that we saw out today. But first, Ron has a comment about the labor market. I'd love for him to join us now and then get you to weigh in on his thought. Ron, in Mississippi, or Michigan, I guess it is. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes. Well, thank you for taking my call. And it's just a comment. In the past that I've noticed, when we've had a blowout number like this before, maybe a month or two later down the road, there's a correction. I mean, this is just absolutely incredible. When they were expecting, what, I think it was $187,000. The reason that I say that is that if you watch, companies are still missing earnings expectations. To me, it just doesn't seem to add up. And I would hate to, I don't want to be pessimistic. I wish I could be optimistic. It's an incredible number. But I'm just going to say, I'm wondering if it's the real thing. And with that, I'll just stop and listen.
Yeah, your point is well taken there, Ron. Jerry, good morning to you, my friend. Give us your thoughts on the payroll number today, and then perhaps your thoughts on Ron's comment.
Yeah, I think Ron's right to be skeptical. So let me just add a little bit more detail to that. We have a very, very odd labor market right now, in that we've got a lot of people retiring. We have a lot of quiet quitting. We had a labor shortage. So typically, if people are out there like really struggling to find work, and then suddenly a lot of people get hired, well, then that's just amazingly good news. That means the economy is really doing very well. But what if you have a situation where people were on the sidelines? They didn't feel like they had to work. They're living off savings. They didn't feel like it was worth it necessarily. And business was having trouble finding people. And then finally, people say, well, I need to work now. I've been drawing down from my 401k, which we've been doing now. Not you probably, but a lot sure. of people have.
Yeah.
They've been blowing through their savings, and they have to go back to work. And so a lot of this is, in a normal labor market economy, a lot of these 517,000 jobs would have been added. There would have been an extra 15 or 20,000 jobs each month. Right, of the past 10 months. But instead, now people are more moving into a crisis mode. They're more afraid. They're seeing layoffs at big companies. And so they're going out there and taking jobs that they were turning their nose up at before. So this is a good thing. People working is a good thing. We're made to work. That's the way God made us. Remember, the commandment is 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. And the seventh is the Sabbath to rest. So there's a command to rest and a command to work. But on the other hand, as an economist who's watched labor markets a long time, I would not look at this and say, normally, 500,000 jobs added in a month is a sign of a really good economy. I'm sorry, I don't think that is a sign of a really good economy. That is a sign of catching up on labor market distortions and to some degree a reflection of people's inability to live off savings and fear about the future.
Well, it makes total sense, Jerry, and we can see it in when we're around town. There's still plenty of openings that are unfilled. I think Chairman Powell said, even in his comments this week, is it two jobs open for every person looking for one? You know, we're not back to the pre-pandemic labor participation rate, despite the fact that it edged higher in this latest number. But how does that factor into all of this?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it's still very low, but people are now edging back in. I think that's good. I think that people yeah. who can work should work. Paul even says something about that. He who will not work shall not eat. I mean, the Bible is pretty clear about this. But on the other hand, so it's a good thing that this happens. But to me, it is not a sign of economic strength. All the other indicators this week where we're falling short of economic expectations. So the economy clearly is slowing. And so people can go to work because there's just such a great job and it's the job that they've always wanted and there's so many jobs being created and they're pulled back in. Or someone can go to work, they don't want to work, but they feel like they don't have any choice anymore. And when you see these high-profile layoffs of big companies, and when you see, again, when you have two jobs, you know, for every applicant, then when people get a job, that is different than if you don't have two jobs for every applicant. If you have a normal labor market, then more people getting work means more jobs being created. This is more unfilled jobs being filled. So that's how you can get a number that's so big, because there was a distorted labor market beforehand.
Yeah. Normally, this would seem to fly in the face of everything the Fed has been doing to this point to try to temper the inflation number. We're going to have to just see how this plays out as to whether this raging labor market is more in line with what you said, and therefore a recession is still the base case. Jerry, obviously a lot of earnings numbers coming our way. What are you seeing there? Any surprises?
No, we're expecting lower, you know, we've been expecting lower earnings. You know, we had all this bounce back earnings effect from COVID shutdowns and partial open ups. And now we're back to just the new normal. And that new normal is, you know, so far, I mean, we're just looking at last quarter's earnings growth. They're weaker. So now we're getting sort of in real time, company by company earnings reports, and then those will be pulled together into a quarterly number. And they're looking weaker in general. And a lot of it, again, distortions from COVID. A lot of the tech companies are doing poorly when we're reopening, which means that the closing down subsidized them. We have to realize that when something goes away, if it's bad for a company, that means that the thing was good for the company before, right? So if these tech companies are getting hit when the Fed raises rates, well, then that means those tech companies were being helped or subsidized when the Fed was lowering rates. Yeah. When our experience economy was shut down and we couldn't travel, we couldn't go to restaurants, or et cetera, et cetera, that's now... that helped, that subsidized some of these big tech companies. As we're reopening and becoming more free, it turns out that those tech companies, their valuations were unrealistic. Yeah. I just want to say something else about what you mentioned, the Fed. Fed doesn't like this because the Fed thinks that the way to fight inflation is to raise unemployment. Now, I just want to point out that's what they think. And as investors, we have to take account of their way of looking at the world. But that is a very distorted way of looking at the world. People working is not inflationary. The central bank creating too much money is inflationary. The answer to inflation is not to slow down the economy, not to throw people out of work, not to have wages drop so that they have less leverage. The way to deal with economy is to have monetary discipline and also economic growth.
Yeah, and that's a biblical worldview, by the way. Folks, we're going to have time for one or two questions here in just a moment on any financial topic related to your economy. What are you dealing with today? 800-525-7000. Jerry, before we let you go, I want to allow you to weigh in on an email we received, because this is representative of a lot of questions we're getting on this topic as of late. Paul wrote to us and said, since we don't back the U.S. dollar by gold anymore, I took some penalty-free money out of my annuity for buying gold and silver. I heard during the Great Depression, the price of gold went up 75%. Just wondering how wise this is. I don't want all of my eggs in one basket, so to speak. I'd love your thoughts. What do you say about this?
Well, the price of gold did rise because they, under the New Deal, they violated the gold standard and they debased the currency. And we do seem to be in a debasing kind of era right now. And since the government is sort of trapped because they have all this debt, we're not lending them the money. We don't have high enough savings to be the lender to our government. So the central bank is creating new money and lending them the money. And there doesn't seem to be any easy way out of that. So I think I mentioned to you, some people get all in on gold. I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense. You need to be diversified. But if you and your advisor have worked out a range, I would be more at the upper end of that range than at the lower end of that range for long-term money as a hedge against serious structural problems with the U.S. economy.
All right. Very good. Well, Jerry, always appreciate your insights, my friend. You bring us current data, but always in light of God's word, and we're grateful for that. I hope you have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Same to you. God bless.
All right. Jerry Boyer, the author of The Maker Versus the Takers, and our resident economist checking in with us each Friday on the broadcast. All right. Let's round out the program today with your questions. 800-525-7000 to Arkansas. Hi, Emily. Thanks for being on the program. How can we help?
Well, I have a significant amount of money in just a cash asset because I closed out the stock market stuff a couple of years ago. I'm 71 years old.
Okay.
And what do I do with it except let it sit there and do nothing?
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's losing purchasing power. What do you have roughly in that account, Emily, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't care. It's close to $1 million or $1.1 million.
And are you living off this or is it just sitting?
It's just sitting.
All right. And would you be open to an advisor handling it with you?
Maybe.
Yeah.
My husband recently passed away and he had an advisor for years. And
okay.
We're kind of like oil and water. So
yeah. Well, 70% of the time. Yeah, 70% of the time when your husband passes, folks change advisors. That's just the data. You need to find somebody that you're really comfortable with. Now, you certainly could do this on your own. I do think having a conservative portfolio that allows you to offset the impact of inflation, the erosion of the purchasing power with a good bit toward bonds and a smaller portion toward stocks, especially since you've been out of the market the last couple of years and you could buy in a discount, makes sense. And I'd look for a certified Kingdom advisor or in your area at our website, faithfi.com. Stay on the line. We'll talk a little bit more off the air. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of my team here, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.